be obedient. And that's what glorifies the Lord. And I believe that's what we have here and in your church. And that's such a blessing. And I appreciate that. And the hospitality, we appreciate the fellowship and the encouragement and just spending time together. It's, you know, for me, it is like a vacation. Amen. I get to preach. Amen. Praise God for that. But, you know, it's a beautiful place to be. We went out, you know, just enjoyed our day today. Even though it was raining, it was still beautiful, and we enjoyed that. And ate some lobster, amen. So I was a little weak last night, but I got a lot of strength tonight, amen. But it was great. It was great. We're looking forward just to the weekend. We're looking forward to tonight, tomorrow, the weekend, and such a blessing. Just keep praying one for another. Pray for us. Pray for me that God would lead us through the Word of God as we open the Scriptures every night. We definitely want the Spirit of God to work. And tonight, I want to invite you to Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to stand as we read God's Word. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to begin in verse 35, but we're going to go all the way through into chapter 10, verse 5. And with God's help tonight, we want to consider, why are the laborers so few? Why are the laborers so few? Beginning here in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levi, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your house tonight. We thank you for the brethren who have come with hungry hearts, with a desire to seek you, Lord, and a desire to see your hand work in our midst with great power. Father, I pray that you would fill me with thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that I would be surrendered and truly a clean, pure vessel in your hands tonight. My mind, my heart, my emotions, my will surrendered unto you, Lord, in everything. And I pray that the hearers also will be surrendered unto you, Lord, and that they will just submit their hearts and open their ears and open their hearts to truly receive the Word of God with meekness, being humble, Lord, ready to be obedient, ready to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we know, Lord, that is your work in us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit in us. And so, Father, tonight we pray for the lost in our midst as well. Father, open up their eyes, open up their understanding, give them conviction, give them, Father, a desire to turn from their sins and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts tonight. Father, bless your people. Encourage them as well. Lord, we need encouragement in this wicked world that we live in. Father, we want to be used. We want to be, Father, seeing fruit for our labors. We want, Father, men and women to surrender their lives to you, to be witnesses. And we also pray, Lord, that you raise up missionaries out of this church. You raise up pastors and preachers. Father, that you would call, that you would send forth more laborers out of Long Island Baptist Church. Father, we pray for your working tonight, working in our midst, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you. Why are the laborers so few? You know, we have a real dilemma in our world. And I really told my wife, I said, this is going to be hard. I just need your prayers. The reality is this. More and more missionaries are coming home, and fewer are going and taking their place. ...94% of the preachers are preaching to 6% of the world's population. While 6% are trying to reach 94% of the world's population. We need to ask ourselves the question, why are the laborers so few? Why are we not seeing churches, seeing men called to preach and surrendering their lives, and even missionaries being sent forth out of churches? You know, if you have a missionary out of your church and you've had missionaries, that's a blessing. Amen. I'm looking forward to the day when Heritage Baptist Church, when we can send forth missionaries. Pray for us. You know, that's our vision. And we want to be involved in training missionaries. We want to be involved in training preachers. And I believe, you know, God would be glorified for that. But we find in our text tonight, when you get into the scriptures, right here in our text, we find some reasons. We find some reasons why the laborers are so few. So I want you to consider some of the reasons that we find in our text. There's some things that we have lost, amen? And I think, first of all, we've lost, number one, the vision of Christ. The vision of Christ. Look what it says here in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so when Jesus looked out and he saw the multitudes, he saw the people, what did he see? He saw their condition, did he not? That they fainted. You know, think about the spiritual condition of the world today. How you go out and you talk to people about Christ, and think about everything that they're going through without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a terrible condition. They fainted. They're weak. There's nothing they can do against their sin. Is it not? They have no power against the works of Satan, that the strongholds of Satan in their lives and in their home. And It's destroying their lives, destroying their marriages, destroying their children. He saw the multitudes because they fainted and were scattered. These people were cast down. They were cast out. This is the condition of the world. Jesus saw that. And he also saw them as sheep. That's their lost condition. Think about Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. We could call it Isaiah's gospel. Amen. Isaiah 53. They were as sheep. And the Bible says very clearly in verse 6, Isaiah 53, 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isn't this the condition? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. And this is the essence of sin, is a very selfish, self-centered life. Turning your back on the Lord. Living a life of independence from the Lord. In rebellion to the Lord. Disobedience. We have turned everyone to his own way. And aren't you thankful the Lord laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all? Amen. And this is our condition. Jesus saw that. And then we see, go back to our text, he saw them as well without a shepherd. I don't know about you, but could you imagine not having a pastor? Can you imagine not having a guide, not having a church, not having someone who leads you through the Word of God, through counseling, biblical counseling, giving you the truth of God, giving you the wisdom of God, and helping you through life's difficult problems. And here they are, they're as sheep, having no shepherd. There's no guidance, there's no leadership in their lives. Jesus saw the multitudes. But I want you to see another passage of Scripture. We're going to go over to John chapter 4. Jesus also saw the harvest. John chapter 4. Another very important passage that we ought to consider during a missions conference. Amen. There's a lot going on in John chapter 4. There's a lot of lessons. And I think we need to take heed to what Jesus was trying to teach to the disciples. And also we see the vision of the disciples. And I think this also tells us another reason why there's so few laborers. What kind of vision did they have? We look at our scripture, we know he's preaching to the woman at the well, amen, at the beginning of the chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. We could probably have a whole missions conference on chapter 4, amen. There's so many things in there. It would be a blessing to do that. But we jump down in the verse 31. They've already gone to town. They've already brought some food, amen. And Jesus, he's already preached to the woman at the well. She's gone. She left her water pot. Amen. She goes back to the village and she's telling everyone, this is the Christ. And many believed on Jesus because of her word. And then they wanted to go out and hear it for themselves. And so that's taking place. And the disciples come back to Jesus in verse 31. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Amen. Meat is satisfaction. Meat is sustenance. Meat is what satisfies you. And Jesus said that the meat that he has is what? Read on, verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And then Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Brethren, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest fulfillment of life is to do the will of God. Amen. To know you're doing the will of God. To have that conviction that you're doing the will of God. And Jesus said, part of doing the will of God is to finish his work. What is that work? We are all called to preach the gospel. Amen. We are all called to, or sent, commissioned by the Lord to preach the gospel. We better take that seriously. We heard that last night. But the other thing I wanted to remind us of that I don't think I made it as clear as I wanted to last night was this. That in the Great Commission, because I may not get back to that, there's something very important to see. When we looked at the Great Commission, and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, all nations is speaking of every ethnic group, every tongue, tribe, and nation on the earth. So we're talking about all nations. All nations. I know that we had the privilege of leading some Mapuche Indians to the Lord. Remember the Mapuche? We went down to Chile. We saw them saved and baptized. We have some of them that are preaching the word of God. Amen. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And when you go, now what is he saying? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, in the commission for every New Testament church is the command to plant other churches. You see, the Great Commission isn't just, okay, we go out and we pass out tracts and we evangelize so we're fulfilled. No, you're not. And I really believe that of Heritage Baptist Church, if we do not plant churches, we're disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the commission of the church. Meaning we are commanded to plant churches. It's about planting churches. The job isn't done until we're planting churches. Do you see how inward we've grown? We've grown so inward that I'm getting back on the message last night, amen. We grow so inward that it's the great omission. Because we're just happy to have a big church or to have a lot of people coming to our church. And we think we're doing okay. When we're not. If we're not planting other churches. Disciples make disciples. Pastors make pastors. You don't learn how to be a pastor in a classroom or in a Bible, you know, in a Bible college. You learn it from your pastor. Amen. Pastors make pastors, amen. And evangelists make evangelists. That's missionary, by the way, evangelist. In the biblical sense. Evangelists make evangelists. Amen. And that's also should be done in the church. And churches make churches. We ought to reproduce churches. Amen. Let's get that vision. We've lost the vision of Christ. Jesus says we have to finish the work. God's given us a great work. And Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. We have the same message. We have the same methods. We have the same motivation. We have the same mission as Jesus Christ. And we are called to finish the work that God gave him and God gave us through Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Great Commission. Now Jesus, let's get here in our text. In verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Now look, get the picture. Here comes the multitudes from the village. And they're already coming out to see Jesus because of the testimony of the woman at the well. And they're walking over the hills. And the disciples are like us, amen. What are we worried about? Hey, we got to get our food, amen. What are we working for? Let me ask you, how many thoughts of the thousands of thoughts that cross your mind today have to do with food? Sorry. Or money. Let's put it that way, money. You know, how to spend it, how to get it, what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on. I mean, let's think about it. You know, we live in a culture, in a world that, hey, you got to really, really think about all these things. I mean, look at it. It's everywhere. It's like all the billboards, all the signs, all the... I think they're done with billboards, right? It's all Facebook and all the social media now, right? I don't know. But it's all about this. It's all about this life. It's all about the materialism. And we could get so caught up as the disciples. I mean, they had to eat. They are taking care of the master, amen. They are concerned. He was thirsty and hungry. That's his humanity, amen. And we see that he is also trying to teach them a lesson. And this is the lesson that we need to learn today. He says in verse 35, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And now they had to look up and they're trying to understand, what is he talking about here? Did someone give him something to eat? My meat's to do the will of God. Now lift up your eyes, look on the fields. Here comes the multitudes out from the village, and they're wanting to hear more about the gospel. Amen. Brethren, we can get so caught up in our own lives that we don't see people anymore. We forget about the people that God's putting in our path. Do you know that every day, if you would just get up and pray, Lord, let me see the people that you're putting in my path today. Father, help me to see the divine appointments that I have. You know what? God's going to give you divine appointments. God's going to put people in your path to witness to. But we're so busy that we don't even see him. And we get to the end of the day, we're like, what did I just spend my day on? And you feel so empty. You're like, man, I'm just working day in and day out. I'm not getting anywhere spiritually. I mean, look at this. When even in your job, even in the time you have, even in the relationships that God's giving you on the work, in work, yes, maybe you can't do it right then, but you're building relationships and you have opportunities to witness and use it for the glory of God. But the first thing we need to do is lift up our eyes. We need to get our eyes off of ourselves. We need to look on the fields. That means get your eyes on others. Amen. And then look what he says here. This is an encouragement, brethren. You know what God's going to do when you do that? When you lift up your eyes and you look on the fields and you start really getting concerned for souls and people around you, look what he says. This is amazing in verse 35. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Now look at this. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And here's the blessing. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God, it's amazing, brother. Listen, God is going to use you to sow or reap. And there's going to be times when you reap, amen, and you see a soul born again and new life and the power of God and the glory of God coming into a person's life, amen. That's the greatest thing, the greatest satisfaction. Look at verse 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestow no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Brethren, we need to lift up our eyes. We need to look on the fields. And then there's another important word there, labor. Labor in the fields. Sowing and reaping. And we know the principle of sowing and reaping, that we must sow before we reap. Amen? And then comes the harvest. So Jesus saw the multitudes. Jesus saw the harvest. Do you know there were approximately 300 million people on the earth in the time of Christ? We've already hit 8 billion. Soon to be 9.7 billion. 2050, 10.4 billion. It's just going to keep growing. We're going to need more laborers. We need more churches. We need more pastors. We need more evangelists. Not less. And then I think of, there are about 5,500 languages that still do not have a full Bible in their first language. That's about 1.5 billion people that need the scriptures. And so we have to get beyond being self-centered. We have to get beyond the concerns only of this life and the material possessions of this life. We have to get beyond being concerned for the physical rather than the spiritual. Brethren, we need to be spiritual. We need to be laboring in the harvest fields. Jesus saw the multitudes. Jesus saw the harvest. We have lost the vision of Christ. Go back to our text in Matthew chapter number 9. But I'm afraid there's something else we've lost. And it's so easy to do. Even in the ministry. We've lost the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, look at this. He was moved with compassion on them. Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's what we're lacking. Because sin hardens people, does it not? And you know what? We just see it every day, day in and day out, and we become hardened too. We hear about the destruction of sin in our world. We see it on the news cycle all the time, the destruction of sin. And the sad thing is, we can harden our hearts towards people. We can get bitter towards people. We can get angry and even hateful. And we can have that disposition throughout the day. I mean, just driving down the expressway. You can get so angry and lose that spirituality. You know, we get caught up in these things and we lose this, the compassion of Christ. That compassion, brethren, has been defined in several different ways, but I believe we could say it is this: your hurt in my heart. Your pain in my heart. I can feel your pain. I can feel the sorrows and the pains of others. We ought not to lose that. Amen. I believe you get that out on the fields. Has any of you been able to travel to go to the mission field and go see the work of God? And when you get out there, it'll change your life. You'll come back with a new perspective about the work of God. I recommend it for everyone to go on a missions trip. Because you're gonna really see how people live. You're gonna see that, I mean, most people around the world live with nothing. They don't have material possessions as a big obstacle. They still live with dirt floors. They still live in huts and shanties. One of the greatest things that ministered to me was seeing people have so little yet have so much joy. I'm serious. It was such a blessing. Because look at how much we get weighted down with things. You know what I mean? It just robs our joy. And people have so little, yet they're filled with joy. Amen? Because they have the most important thing when they found Jesus Christ. But when you get out on the fields, I even think of going out and knocking doors and talking to people about Christ. You really see where people are living and how much they're suffering. And that'll do something in your heart. You begin to understand their sufferings. And the Bible goes to Jude in verse number 22. Jude, we find a very important verse here about compassion. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Amen. You know, it's that compassion, brethren, when we are full of the compassion of Jesus Christ, it moves us. It makes a difference in our lives. It moves us to action. It does make a difference. I think it makes a difference in a church, amen? When you see people come in, you have visitors, you should reach out to them. You should love on them. You should make them feel like this is the greatest place. This is a family. We want you to stay here. Amen. They ought to feel that love and that compassion of Christ. Because you are really, you know, this isn't something made up. I'm not talking about, you know, marketing tools and all this garbage. I'm talking about compassion of Christ that you get from Him, amen? That you get from His heart, and He puts it in your heart, and you have the heart of God and the love of God and the compassion of Christ filling your life and your heart, and it just spills out on other people, amen? You're going to be drawn to that. They're going to be drawn to Christ. Amen. Because of that. That's what it makes a difference. We've lost the vision of Christ. We've lost the compassion of Christ. But let's go back to our text. Matthew chapter 9. There's something else we've lost. the dedication of Christ. Aren't you thankful that our Lord became flesh, God became flesh and dwelt among us? Amen. And we saw, you know, Jesus went before us. He's the great apostle of our profession. Amen. And Jesus went before us. And the Bible says it's very clear that we see how we ought to live. Amen. We see the love we ought to have, the compassion we ought to have by looking and reading about the life of Christ. And then we see His dedication. Think of the hours. The Bible says He hungered and thirsted like us. He was tired. But look at what drove Him. It says in verse 35, and Jesus went about, look at this, all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Do we see the dedication of Christ? He went. He's constantly on the move. He's constantly doing, finishing the work of God and loving people and preaching to them. I believe when we look at this passage, that's when we go to our Great Commission. We say, we just need to do what Jesus did. Amen. We need to be busy doing what Christ did. We need to be busy going and preaching. He didn't just command us to do it. He showed us how to do it. What a blessing. And then we move on in our text in verse 37. Here's something else we've lost. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Brethren, if he was here on a Wednesday night, Jesus would raise his hand and say, church, pray for laborers. Church, pray for preachers. Church, pray for missionaries. How much do we really pray for laborers? And there's nothing wrong. We have a prayer list of our church. And it's like probably like many other prayer lists of churches. We have salvation, visitors by name, church needs, and then we have health. We have our country. We have other needs. Law enforcement, different needs like that. On the back, we have our missionaries. And we have specific needs. I believe this is an important part of our church right here. Pray. I believe our prayers make a difference. But I also believe that as we're praying and that we're trying to really minister through prayer, that the people, our brethren in the pew, God's working in their hearts about laboring in the fields. You see, brethren, we need to get back to prayer. We need to get back to praying as Christ told us to pray, and pray for the things that are important on the heart of God. Amen. Amen. And one of the things that Jesus says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. And we've heard it. You get serious praying about it, you know what? God may say, I want you to go. And that's why a lot of people don't want to pray. They're afraid of what God's going to tell them to do. Amen. But you know what? It's the greatest thing you can do in your life is fulfill the will of God and do His will and do His work. Go over to Mark chapter 10. I wanted to share this. I said Matthew 10:28, and I was thinking about that a little bit. And I almost got there last night, but it's actually Mark 10:28. Must have been the church secretary who changed my reference in that message. Amen. No. Type in the notes. Mark 10:28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. What a testimony. Amen. But I love this. I just am here to tell you, this is true. This is real. This is what God does with your life. Jesus said, answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father or mother or wife or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospels. Look at this. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. Listen, I'm here to tell you, I have a home, homes, houses in Chile. I have houses in Africa. I have mothers that love me like my mother in Africa and Chile. I have brothers and sisters and children. Brethren, it's real. It's real. It will bless your life. It will enrich your life. God does fulfill His word. It's the greatest thing you can do. Why would you sit here in the pew and disobey God's calling on your life? And God, and not surrendering your life and giving your all to God when He has so much prepared for you. So many blessings. Do you know, when I went to the mission field, when we went, we never feared anything. I'm not saying that to be someone special. I'm just saying this. When you're in the will of God, you don't fear anything. We did things that now we look back and say, wow, we really did that, didn't we? Well, God did it. Amen. We've lived in places. We went to Chile. And in Chile, they were carrying AK-47s. There was bombs going off and, you know, in the middle of the night. We didn't think anything of it in the sense of this is God's call. This is where God put us. When God called us from Chile to Africa, we never feared. I mean, we, you know, obviously you have wisdom and you have understanding, amen. But we didn't fear the snakes and the wild animals and, you know, riding our mountain bikes out in the bush and, you know, hey, yeah, there's cheetahs down by the river. Be careful. And, you know, wild boar cross here. And snakes everywhere. In the pool, black mama swimming with your son. But I knew one thing. We were in the center of God's will. And we didn't, I know my wife's the same way. We didn't fear these things. We knew God was caring for us. There was dangers everywhere, dangers all around. But God, and if God would have called one of us home, amen. That can happen too, amen. Even when you're in the will of God. And we're not saying that. But I want you to understand the blessings of God. And we see Jesus, we see the apostles, but we have real life missionaries, amen. We have people who truly have lived the life. They've gone on before us. Some of the greatest trips I had, I went down in 1991 with Brother Milton Martin to Chiapas, Mexico. And probably about 2 weeks. And during that time, in 2 weeks' time, I was deathly sick. I mean that. We were arrested and put in jail by the federales. We were robbed. They were trying to, there was blockades, riots, and we were in a car, several different cars traveling through Chiapas, and we got on this riot, and there's people, you know, they're with guns up in the air and everything, and they surround the car. You have nowhere to go, and they put shocks of wood under the tires and everything, and they stick a can in the window, and they shake it, and there's money in there, right? And the driver, bless his heart, he's with the Lord, but anyway, he said, no. and they started rocking the car. And we're all in there, you know, showering that thing with money. Amen. And then as soon as they hear the can rattling with some coins or whatever you got in your pocket, they let us go. Amen. I'm telling you, in 2 weeks' time, it was like the book of Acts, you know. And that's how Brother Milton Martin lived his life. It was normal. You know, I guess one of the greatest burdens I have, probably all preachers have, is our mentors, our teachers. Most of them are gone now. They're with the Lord. We have a great responsibility. We have a great heritage. We have great privileges. But we have a great responsibility. With knowledge and with truth comes a great responsibility. Brother, we can't fail. We can't let down the Lord Jesus Christ. Things have to change. We got to become soldiers for Jesus. We got to become real. We got to do some sacrificing. We got to really start becoming dedicated. Make some sacrifices in our life. Make some sacrifices in our church. We do need to die daily. We need to take up our cross daily. We need to deny ourselves daily. We need to follow Him daily. Amen. It's the only way. It's really the only way. It's Christ's way. This is His life. This is His example. This is His heart. This is His calling. This is what He's called us to do. Are you praying for laborers? Are you willing to be that laborer? Because I put this all together. Go back to our text. Don't worry, I'm finishing up the introduction. Matthew chapter number 10. We're finishing up the message. That's the truth. We've lost the vision of Christ. We've lost the compassion of Christ. We've lost the dedication of Christ. But also, brethren, we have lost the petition of Christ, and we've lost the commission of Christ and the calling of Christ. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples. Brethren, this is the answer. Why are the laborers so few? Because we're not answering the call of God. Let me ask you, is God going to be blamed for the lack of laborers? Is that God's will that we don't have enough preachers? Is that God's will that we don't have enough evangelists and church planters around the world? Is that God's fault? Is He not calling? He is calling. He has the same commission. He has the same calling for us that He's given the apostles. And remember, they turned the world upside down. What are we doing? We've lost something. I've given you a challenge tonight. Take out that handout. And I realize it's a high calling. It's a holy calling. And the sad thing is, again, are we even willing to live the life that God requires to fulfill His call? Do you have a desire for ministry? You know, that desire comes from God, and God places that desire in your heart. If any man desireth the office of a bishop, He desireth a good work. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you have the character? We look at the great men of God that have gone on before us, and they had character, amen? They had a holy character, a dedication. No man of God was perfect. We all have our shortcomings. But they were qualified. They were blameless. Amen. Brethren, we have to examine our lives. And we need to be accountable. You know what? We ought to be accountable one to another in the church. And we ought to get things right and get to the place where God can use us. Yes, there are some disqualifications. And that you can't enter the ministry. I understand that. But maybe there's some areas you need, you can shore up. You can get right with God. And you're not disqualified. Get in the place of being qualified. Amen. Is your home life in order? And we know what 1 Timothy 3 talks about. Has God gifted you to teach and preach? Amen. Are you able to rightly divide the word of God? I think of number 5. You know, it's not just a personal calling. that you believe you're called and you feel called without anyone else seeing your calling and recognizing your calling, especially your pastor. So the question is not so much, do you feel called, but does your pastor believe you're called? Amen. Because it's the church that ordains. It's the church that sends you out with church authority. Do you truly love the people of God? Amen. It's not about you realizing your own dreams, and it's about feeding God's sheep and the lambs. Amen. Loving people. How about number 7? Are you passionate about the Great Commission? Amen. I think we're learning a little bit about what the Great Commission is all about. What kind of passion we ought to have about the Great Commission this week. Are you currently engaged in fruitful ministry? Obviously, God wants to use you here in this church before He sends you out to preach and start another church. Amen. So you need to be engaged in ministry. You need to be faithful in that which is least, so God can commit unto you true riches. Amen. Are you ready to defend the faith? I'll tell you one thing we know is that the ministry is not going to be easy. There's wolves, grievous wolves, the Bible said, that are coming in and destroying the flock of God. They want to destroy the flock of God. You need to be prepared to lead the flock of God even at that time. How about the immorality in the world, the idolatry, the homosexuality, the worldliness, the hostility against God and the church? Are you able to stand and defend the faith? Amen. Last of all, are you willing to sacrifice? And the list can go on, but I think these are some things we need to really consider. If you say you're called, if you're entertaining the call of God, then examine it in light of the Scriptures, because we need God-called preachers. We need God-called missionaries in this church, in your church. Listen, these instructions is... these are instructions for Long Island Baptist Church. Amen. Personally delivered to you as a church. And we need to get serious about this. And we need to examine ourselves. Are we truly fulfilling the Great Commission? Are we doing what Jesus called us to do? Are we truly surrendering our lives? Are we surrendered to the ministry, the calling of God? Because He wants preachers out of this church. He wants missionaries out of this church. And you know, that means a lot. Because if He's doing that, you know what the blessing is? As you send them out, more come in. God blesses you with more to take their place. And then you send more out. More come in. It's a great responsibility. But it's the greatest blessing of all that we can have as a church, to train pastors, train missionaries, to send them out and plant other churches here and around the whole world. Amen. Let's all stand.